Grace and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, as I was reading this part right here, where it says, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It reminded me the day that I had to go back to Chicago to defend my doctoral dissertation. I wrote my PhD dissertation about the Holy Spirit, and as I was sitting there waiting to go and meet this panel of professors to defend what I had written about the Holy Spirit, one of them walked outside the room to receive me and to bring me to the room, and he said, you wrote about the Holy Spirit, didn't you? And I say, yes. And he said, well, let's see if it works. I think he was trying to make me feel more at ease, but I don't know that it worked. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, last Sunday we celebrated the Holy Trinity, and I used the opportunity to talk about the concept of God and to talk about the existence of God. And if you're curious about what I said and you were not here, then I invite you to go to our website. We have the sermons there, www.hopeinannandale.church. If you have not checked that out, I invite you to do so. And it's also a nice way to invite other people to know what we are about before they actually have to come here. So last Sunday, I talked about the existence of God, but there was something that I did not talk about, and I was surprised that nobody asked me. And what I did not talk about was the question of suffering and the question of evil. There are some people that say that the cry of one single innocent child suffering is enough to shatter the whole idea of God. And so we need to deal with the question of suffering and with the question of evil. Particularly this week has been a really tough week. We had a shooting not too far from here, what, 15 minutes from here? Somebody with a shotgun shooting at our representatives as they were preparing for a baseball game, and himself being shot and killed in the process. Our prayers go to that congressman as he continues to battle for his life, although I think he's doing much better. Then also this week, we were remembering what happened in Florida, in Orlando, where another person walked into a club where there was known as a welcoming place for LGBT brothers and sisters, gay and lesbians and transgender. And then he massacred many people there. And then on top of that, we also remember, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, the anniversary of that other massacre that happened at Mother Emmanuel Church, where one of our boys, one of our Lutheran boys, unfortunately, or men, I should say, filled with hate, walked into this African-American church, sat through Bible study, and then committed a massacre there. And I could go on and on and on. Right? And so the question is, if there is this reality that we talked about last Sunday that we call God, that is the power of being, the power for existence, the power of life, then how come it doesn't feel that way sometimes? How come it looks like it's more sometimes evil and suffering that surrounds us? In the language of theology, they call that the question of theodicy. Theodicy is like the question of, if God is good and God is all-powerful, then how come there is evil and suffering in the world? So the sermon has to do with the question of theodicy, because I believe that the readings that we just heard are, in a sense, God's answer to the question of theodicy. First of all, we need to remember something that I've emphasized many times in previous sermons, and is we need to change the way that we think about God and how God is at work in the world. We need to remember that God is not a magician or a puppeteer, even though God's works are indeed magical. But God is not a magician. Throughout the history of the world, as we know it through scriptures and even through science, we see that God always works through intermediaries. God always works through mediums. God always works through prophets, through judges. See, in the history of Israel, when the people were slaves in Egypt and the people were crying out to God for help, God did not just show up and did the works of wonder that were done later. God called Moses, and then Moses said yes. And then Moses went. And then God was able to liberate the people of Israel through Moses. God approaches the people through the prophets and always calls the people to repentance. Or God calls the people to walk with the poor, with the orphans, with the widows, with the foreigners. See, always through intermediaries, always through the mediation. Even the work of creation, the creation of the heaven and the earth. When we read the stories of creation, God sends the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and then God also sends his word, the Dabar, and it is through the Spirit and through the word that the world comes into being. There's always a mediation. In the story that we read today from the Gospel, and also from the Old Testament, we see that God, in the history of salvation, seems to have chosen a particular people among many peoples in the world, and that is the Jewish people. And that God seemed to have had a very special relationship with the people of Israel. And we continue to remember that in our liturgy, in our prayers, and in the scriptures. And in order to understand that special relationship that God had with the people of Israel, we need to understand two things. First of all, we need to understand that back then, in the historical context when that happened, they were a weak people. They were a wandering people, and they were surrounded by bullies. And in the stories of the Bible, that is emphasized by talking about giants, by talking about, you know, like when the spies from Israel go to Canaan, and then they come back and they say, they are all giants. That was the experience that the Israelites had of the surrounding peoples. They were all empires, and they were all bullies against the people of Israel. If you do not remember that, then we don't understand this special connection that God has with the people of Israel. God chose to side with the weak, with the poor. God gave a special blessing to the people of Israel. And then the second part that we should remember is so that they could be a blessing to the nations. It says that they were made a priestly nation, a holy kingdom, so that they could bring about the peace and the justice and the compassion that God wanted to reign in the world. And also so that they could bring the knowledge of God to people, so that people from all over the world would be able to come and worship God, because in God they would have found peace, they would have found justice, they would have found mercy. And so we, as the Lutheran Church, despite our horrible history of what happened in Germany and how the church, in a sense, either was quiet or complicit in what the Nazis did to our Jewish brothers and sisters, we, as the Lutheran Church today, continue to acknowledge that special relationship between God and the people of Israel. So we do not believe what some denominations call super cessationism, if I remember the name correctly, that special relationship was transferred from the people of Israel to the church. That is not what we believe. We believe what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans. We believe that we, the church, through Christ, have been grafted into that community, into that people of Israel, so that the people, the Jewish people, continue to have that special relationship with God. And we too get to be part of that community because we have been grafted into that community so that we participate in that blessing that was for them. So that we, as the church, can be a blessing to the world. In the same way that we have a brain and we say that Christ is the head of the church. So in a sense, Christ is like the brain of the church. In the same way that we have a brain, and yet the brain sends nerves throughout the whole body, and they spread through the nervous system. In the same way, you know, the Jewish community and the church and all those that pay heed to God's call are like God's presence in the world, like those nerves that go around the world. First of all, so that through us, God feels the pain that exists in the world. So the first thing that we are called to do is to open our heart to the suffering of our neighbors, those that are nearby and those that are far away, those that look like us and those that look very different from us, those that love us and those that hate us, so that we can feel the pain of the world as part of our vocation. Second of all, we are called not just to be the nerve endings, but also the muscles. We're called to be the hands of God, the feet of God, the mouth of God, the heart of God in the world. And so we are called, like Moses was called, like the prophets were called, we are called to be a holy people, engaged in works of mercy and compassion. We are called to embody the presence of God in the world. And I am very proud to say that as a Lutheran community, we have been faithful in many different ways, and we still have much to learn in others. We just came back from the Synod Assembly, Nidra and Debbie and I, and got to hear some of the amazing work that our church does, both at home and around the world. At home, we have places like the LAM Center, which is not a Lutheran center, but we have a Lutheran leading the LAM Center, making sure that people that are homeless have warm meals and have a place to sleep. We have Lutheran social services that help with foster children, making sure not only that their basic needs are met, but also that they have loving homes where they are received. And if you want to learn more about that, you can talk to Charlotte here, who does a lot of work with that. But also through the work of individual Christians, so that Jane, when you are working in the cafeteria with the children, and you say, as you did about a year ago or so, you know, under my watch, not a single child will go hungry because they don't have money. That is God responding to the cries and to the prayers of those parents and of those children. And Stan, is it your kid that does biochemistry research? No? Oh. Who is it? It's yours. Okay. So even scientists in the lab trying to figure out how viruses spread or trying to figure out how, how to fight disease, that too is a holy vocation. That too is being the hands and the brain of God in the world. We were told by the bishop that he was in an airplane recently and somebody saw him wearing his funny clothes and said, "Are you a bishop?" from the other side of the aisle. And he said, yes, I am. And then the person asked him, "What kind of bishop are you?" And he said, "I'm a Lutheran bishop." But he was apprehensive because you never know what they're going to come with afterwards. And then this person said, "Oh, we love the Lutherans." And they said, "Oh, why is that? And who are you?" And she said, "I work with FEMA. And we love the Lutherans because the Lutherans are always among the first to arrive. And they stay till the work is done. And we are still in New Orleans, for instance, doing work, even after so many years have passed." So, see, in that way, we are the church. But there are other ways in which we sometimes do not do such a good job. So another story that we heard from our presiding bishop was that somebody who was a refugee and was resettled through the Lutheran church asked her, oh, so are you a pastor? Yes. Are you, yeah. What church? Who do you work with? And she said, with the Lutheran church. And she said, with the Lutherans? She said, oh, the Lutherans helped me resettle. I think it was from Syria. I don't remember. And I'm so grateful for the Lutherans. But then she said, but I did not know you were a church too. And that is where we are not doing such good a job. We do this work, but there's a reason why. And we have to share the joy of the gospel with our brothers and sisters. We were reminded also by our presiding bishop that Luther used to call the church a Mundhaus, a mouth house. It's a place where we speak. Where we speak about the love of God. And there are many people that do not know, have not heard yet what I was telling the children, that God does not just exist out there, that God does not just create, but that God does it for you, for you, for you, for everybody. As we heard Paul writing in the lesson that we just heard, Paul says, even when we were dead because of our sins, even when we were still enemies with God, God gave us the most precious thing that God had, his only son, to die for you. And that message really transforms people. And so, I know I'm going a little bit too long, so I'll finish now. The question of suffering and of evil is not a theory about God. The answer to the question of suffering and evil is the love that summons us, the people of God, to embody the love of God in the world. The answer to the cries of those who are suffering is not to tell them a justification of how even though God is strong and powerful, evil can happen. No, the answer is to reach out and give them a hand. And in doing so, we will be surprised by how as we give, we are blessed even more than we are blessing others, or that God is blessing through us. Amen.